This morning I read to you three texts, one from Daniel, one from the Gospel and Matthew, and then one from 1 Corinthians. And each of those texts carry the same theme that Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, has been exalted to the right hand of God, that he is the one who reigns to defeat all of his enemies, and that he will defeat even the last enemy itself, death, at his coming again and the resurrection. But we start with a text in Daniel, a text often misunderstood. In Daniel, we see one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was brought near before him. And I would ask my students when I taught at the seminary, where do sons of men live, and where is God in the imagery of the book of Daniel? They would think for a while. They would say, oh, I get it. A son of man lives on earth. But if he comes on the clouds, he is coming to heaven. Where's God at? God is in the heavens. In other words, Daniel 7, 13 and 14 pictures what we know to be the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, he has been brought near to the Father, and he has been given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And what's the purpose of that kingdom? That all peoples, all nations, all languages should serve him. Now, when Daniel wrote those words, the bulk of the world was immersed in various forms of pagan religion. And so if to him was given a kingdom and all peoples and nations and languages serve him, what must this one like a son of man be doing? Making war on unbelief and establishing his kingdom everywhere. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. I was pleased to hear that one of your prayer groups or fellowship groups is going to have an open time of prayer for the folks in Ukraine and the great difficulties that are there. If you're watching the news or listening to YouTube videos, me, I don't have cable, you're very aware that the world is in a great state of crisis, or at least the media reporting to us are in a great state of crisis. Not that it takes a lot to get them into crisis mode. It's funny how when you cease to believe in the Lord, everything becomes crisis. Do we know what will happen? Are we about to enter into World War III? Some speculate that. Will there be nuclear fallout from the Russians' capturing of the nuclear plant? Will NATO get involved? Will we find ourselves in war? Any answers out there? No, you don't know. I don't know. But Jesus knows. Why? He has a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Whatever happens in the affairs in the world today, whether things will calm down and negotiations will settle matters, or things will go from bad to worse, the one thing we know for certain is his kingdom will never be destroyed. So quit living in fear. You cannot lose if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is your king, because you belong to a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. And it intends, it aims that all the kingdoms of this world should become subservient to his kingdom, that all the peoples, the nations, the languages should serve him. What is King Jesus doing in Ukraine? Advancing his kingdom. How has he taken the disaster that is the Russian-Ukrainian war and using it to advance his kingdom? I don't know. He does not ask my advice. And given the sorts of mistakes I have made in my little life, why would he ask my advice? And he doesn't ask anyone's advice. He is God the Son incarnate, crucified and risen. He knows what he is doing. And his kingdom cannot be destroyed. The world is not about to end. Why? Because Jesus is on the throne. And his kingdom cannot be destroyed. When we turn to our text in Corinthians, we advance our thought just a bit further. And there we discover that Paul, citing from the Psalms, Psalm 110 in particular, says that he must reign as king. Just a little tidbit there. In Greek, there is a word for king, and then there is the verb to do what a king does. And there is a word for lord, and there is a word for do what a lord does. So you king and king eyes, and you lord and lord eyes in Greek. And in this passage, he must reign means he must reign as king. He is the great king. Or as we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, he is king over all kings and lord over all lords. And he must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet, as we find in Psalm 110, verse 1, where the Lord said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. What is Jesus doing right now in the world? What he is always doing, reigning as the great king, subduing people to himself, advancing his kingdom, and defeating his enemies. That is the heavenly politics that we are in. Oh, I know we have earthly politics, geopolitics. Geo is from the Greek word for earth. Where nations compete against nations. And sometimes we look at those conflicts and we can see who are more or less the good guys and who are more or less the bad guys. And sometimes it gets very confused. But what we can know is that Jesus is reigning to defeat all his enemies. And he has, as he says in the end of Matthew's gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth. You see, right now there is a conflict between the Ukrainian government and its people and the Russian armies that are invading. And there's a question about whether NATO will get drawn into that battle. I have no answers for that. But you have nation contending against nation. And you're never sure who's going to come out on top. If it were 1943, would you know who would have won World War II then? But Jesus is not like those nations. No one stays his power. No one counters his moves. Because Jesus does what no human army can ever do. He, by his Spirit, takes the enemies of God who despise and hate God and turns them into the people of God who love God and keep his commandments. Ought we to pray for peace in Ukraine? Yes. Ought we to pray for the refugees and their sufferings and those in country who face sufferings? Yes. Ought we to pray for the Russian soldiers? Yes. Oh, no, no, no. Not that they will win or lose. I don't know the geopolitics of the matter. We ought to pray that God, by His Spirit, that King Jesus sending out the Holy Spirit to the hearts of men, would turn Russian soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers and Russian people and Ukrainian people and American people from their unbelief, from their superficial religiosity, to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His holy and good law. For He must reign till He defeats all His enemies. It is the nature of the ancient world that there was no printing presses, no wonderful projection, no iPads. And so people in the ancient world, Jews in particular, were often given to memorize large portions of Scripture. Because how else would you have it in your mind? You didn't really have a book to carry around. In the New Testament time, we didn't yet have the sewn book idea. We still had scrolls rolled up. You couldn't get out your iPad and look up a verse. You couldn't carry your pocket Bible around and flop it out and look for something. So you memorize Scripture. And as a result, we tend to hear Scripture as moderns, in which a New Testament writer, in this case Jesus, cites the Old Testament. And all we see is that little bit of a verse, or the summary or summation of a verse. And that's all we see. But in fact, that's not how an ancient heard the citation. Because he heard the citation or the summarization of the citation. He heard it, and the whole passage popped into his mind. So I want to take you then to our third text for this morning, from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man." Now, ancient Greek uses the verb to see, horao and blepo in the Greek, much the way we use the word see in English, both for physical sight and for intellectual perception. See what I mean? You will perceive, you will grasp the Son of Man, Jesus' own self-designation, sitting at the right hand of the power. And every high priest and person present at that event immediately said, "Oh, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." They got the threat. But here were the chief priests threatening the life of Jesus and threatening what they thought was his pretense to some kingdom. And Jesus says, "Yeah, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, God making all his enemies a footstool for his feet, his troops being willing in the day of battle. He will crush kings before him," Psalm 110 says. They got it. And then the second citation, allusion, which is to Daniel 7, 13 and 14. "And you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." That's not end of the world, second coming resurrection language. That's ascension, enthronement, kingdom language. "You will see one like a Son of Man coming up to the cloud, on the clouds, to the Ancient of Days, receiving a kingdom that all nations and kingdoms and languages should serve him. And his kingdom will never pass away. It will never be destroyed." You will see this. You will perceive this. How did the high priests and the Jewish nation come to perceive this? Well, just a little earlier, during what we call Holy Week, the disciples pointed out to Jesus the marvelous buildings of the temple and all of its glorious adornment. And Jesus said, probably doing this, because the disciples never got it. They're like me. Do you see these stones? I tell you, one stone will not be left on another, which will not be thrown down. Or just a little earlier in chapter 23 of Matthew, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. You can read about the Roman-Jewish War. You'll find an extensive description of it in the book of Josephus' Jewish Wars. And you'll learn something about the geopolitics of that event. Why the Jews thought they could rebel against Roman overlordship. How the Romans responded to that. The various ups and downs of it all. I mean, right in the midst of the Roman effort to defeat Jerusalem. Nero died. Was killed, but as an act of suicide. He was too much of a coward to kill himself. He had his servant do it, but that was the intention. And the Roman Empire fell into civil war. You can read all about that. That's the geopolitics. But the heavenly politics is that Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, would make all his enemies a footstool for his feet, would defeat all of his enemies. And so what he said about Jerusalem came to pass. Do I know what will happen in the Russia-Ukraine conflict? No. Do I understand the geopolitics? Well, I've read and listened to people talk about it with a lot of conflicting views. But I don't know the future in its details. And you don't know the future. And the great pundits out there who talk as if they do don't know the future. But we know this, that the kingdom of Jesus cannot be destroyed. That he reigns to defeat all of his enemies. That he reigns that all peoples and tribes and nations should serve him. Let that instruct your prayers. Learn to pray, not with just repetition because you know the phrase, but with true understanding. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, in the crisis we find ourselves in, pray for the advancement and the conquest of the kingdom of Jesus. Pray that more and more people would be turned from unbelief to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God would bring down wicked and evil governments by turning even wicked and evil rulers into believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and servants of the King of Kings. Do not live in the fear that grasps the world. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Our sins are wholly paid for in his once for all sacrifice. And now, he reigns to advance his kingdom until it fills the whole world. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Father, we cry out to you for relief for those who suffer in the Ukraine-Russian war, for those who suffer in many other places. Protect them, deliver them. But, oh, Father, we pray most of all that your kingdom would advance, that the reign of Jesus would spread throughout the world, that hearts would be changed, and that men would learn to love your Son and to keep his commandments. And grant us, Father, that we would not live in the fear that is so driven among us, that is in our media, that we are constantly told to be afraid. Oh, Father, deliver us from that fear, for your Son reigns for us, for our salvation, to defeat all his and our enemies. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.